Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 22, if you'd like to join along in a pew Bible or your own Bible. Exodus 22, verses 22 through 24. Before we read God's word, let's go to him once again in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty and gracious Father, your word is eternal. Your word is true. Your word is life. For in it and through it, you have shown us life, the way and the truth and the life, Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, that as we read your word this morning, that you would give us ears to hear. We pray, Father, that as we read your word this morning, that your Holy Spirit would be our teacher. That by your Spirit, you would seal your word upon our hearts so that we might not only know your word, but also obey it, live it, thereby giving you the glory in and through our lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Exodus 22, verses 22 through 24. You shall not mistreat any widow or fatherless child. If you do mistreat them and they cry out to me, I will surely hear their cry, and my wrath will burn, and I will kill you with the sword. And your wives shall become widows, and your children fatherless. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our New Testament reading comes from the book of Acts, chapter 6. As we continue our study of the book of Acts, we've now reached chapter 6. We're going to be looking at just the first seven verses this morning of chapter 6. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews, because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you seven men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, as we've seen in our study of the book of Acts, especially in the past few chapters, despite threats and despite opposition, despite persecution, the apostles, the Jesus-appointed early leaders of the early church continued to preach the gospel. They continued to proclaim the good news. The good news that God has come, that God has come in person, that God has come in Jesus. The good news that through his death, that through his crucifixion, sin is undone. Your sin is undone, conquered, overcome. That through his rising from the grave, through his resurrection, death is undone. Your death is undone, conquered, overcome. In Jesus, God has brought forgiveness. In Jesus, God has brought life. In Jesus, God has brought hope for you and for the world. Despite threats, despite opposition, despite persecution, the book of Acts shows us that the Holy Spirit was on the move, that God's Spirit was transforming, that God's Spirit was renewing, that God's Spirit was blessing. Despite threats, Despite opposition, despite persecution, the church was growing. The book of Acts tells us that the disciples were increasing in number, that the followers of Jesus were growing in number. Times were good, even under persecution. God's people were blessed. Until we get to one word in our passage. One word. And that one word, complaint. Listen again to verse 1. Listen again to verse 1. Now in these days when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews. Again, despite persecution and opposition, times were good. God was blessing. Ministry was fruitful. The Spirit was present. The church was growing. And then we get to complaint. Complaint. Now, I know it's hard to believe that such a word would show up in the church. I know that some of you are shocked that such a word would show up in the life of God's people, in the midst of God-created community, but there it is. Complaint. Now, the sense of the Greek word translated complaint here, the sense of that Greek word is complaint through murmuring, grumbling. The murmuring in the church, the grumbling in the church was against the apostles. And the complaint that was given concerned widows, concerned the welfare of widows. Now, throughout the Old Testament, throughout the history of God's people, the Lord always showed concern, always showed compassion for the weak and the powerless, for those who cannot care for themselves, for those who cannot defend themselves, especially the orphan and the widow. Now, our Old Testament reading from the book of Exodus was a law given by God, a law concerning widows and orphans. And he spoke these words. Listen again to verse 22 of our Exodus passage. The Lord said, "You shall not mistreat any widow or fatherless child." So the Lord commanded his people not to mistreat, not to abuse, not to neglect widows and orphans. Now, in a male-dominated, male-centered culture, a woman who lost her husband could potentially be in dire straits, could potentially be destitute. Especially if she couldn't remarry and have more children. Especially if she didn't have any other family members to care for her. Now, widows in such a position would have no means to provide for themselves. Widows in such a position would have no means to obtain basic necessities like food and shelter and clothing. Therefore, the Lord wanted his people, commanded his people to guard widows. Protect widows, provide for widows, care for widows. Now, God even adds a curse to this law. If widows are mistreated, if orphans are neglected, then God says this. Listen again to verse 23. God says, "If you do mistreat them and they cry out to me, I will hear their cry, and my wrath will burn. And I will kill you with the sword, and your wives shall become widows, and your children fatherless." Well, God's people took this admonition to heart, and rightly so. There was typically a weekly distribution for widows. If you were a widow and you lived in Jerusalem at the time of Jesus and you had no family, you had nobody to help care for you, you could go to the temple and you could receive food and you could receive clothing. Now, the early church carried over this ministry. The early church took upon itself this ministry to its own community. They just carried it right over from the temple. So in the church, in this new community of faith, widows were given food, widows were given clothing, widows were perhaps even given money daily as needed, as they needed it. And all of this came from the offering that was given to the apostles, money brought to the apostles, money that was used to care for those in need, including widows. Now, the complaint about widows came from the Hellenists, we're told. The Hellenists were complaining against the Hebrews. Now, the Hellenists were Greek-speaking Jews. That's what Hellenists were, Greek-speaking Jews. Most were born outside of Israel, or their family originated outside of Israel. They had moved to Jerusalem. They had come to believe in Jesus. They had come to follow Jesus. But they were primarily Greek-speaking. But they also were Greek in the way that they dressed. They were Greek in their manners. And they read the Old Testament in Greek. That was the Hellenists. Now, on the other hand, the Hebrews were from Israel. They spoke primarily Aramaic. They were thoroughly Jewish. They dressed Jewish. They read the Old Testament in Hebrew. And they, too, had come to follow Jesus, have faith in Jesus. So there was a division in the church. Even though they were one in Jesus, even though they were adopted as children of the Father, even though they were bound as brothers and sisters by the Holy Spirit, there was a division. And not just a division of language, but a cultural division. And this division became evident when the Hellenists said that their widows were being neglected, that their widows were being slighted over the Hebrew widows. So maybe you can imagine our church, imagine Covenant, sharing our building, sharing pastors, sharing elders with a Korean congregation. It could be any culturally different congregation. And then some folks from one group started complaining about the other group, that one group was getting more assistance from the benevolence fund than the other group. That those in need were getting, from one group, were getting more help than those from the other group. That's the kind of situation that faced the apostles. So how did the apostles address this complaint? This complaint came up before them. How did they address this problem? Well, first of all, it's interesting to note what didn't happen. Before we look at what happened, let's look at what didn't happen. Well, first of all, there was no divine revelation. God did not offer an immediate solution straight to the apostles. That's not what we're told happened. The other thing that didn't happen, the apostles didn't call a prayer meeting of the whole church. Now, certainly the apostles prayed, but that wasn't emphasized in our passage. The other thing that didn't happen was the apostles didn't chastise those who were complaining. They didn't tell the Hellenists, hey, y'all just get over it. At least you're getting something. At least you're getting something rather than nothing. The other thing that didn't happen was the Hellenists did not leave and start the first Hellenist church of Jerusalem. That didn't happen either. Instead, what happened was the apostles listened to the complaint and they made an administrative decision. They made an administrative decision. They gathered the disciples, they called together all the followers of Jesus, the thousands of followers of Jesus that there were in Jerusalem at the time. In other words, what the apostles did was call a congregational meeting of the church in Jerusalem. And the apostles spoke these words to the whole church. Listen again to verse 2. The apostles said this in verse 2. It's not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. It's not right that we should give up the preaching of God, the preaching of the word of God, to serve tables. Well, the apostles saw that the problem was greater than unequal distribution to widows and to two different cultural groups within the church. It was that, yes. But the problem for the apostles was time and calling. Time and calling. The apostles recognized that they could spend all of their time in this area of ministry. They could spend all of their time distributing food or clothing or money to widows. They realized they could spend all of their time serving, waiting on tables. Not that waiting on tables was beneath them. They'd been doing it. Not that waiting on tables was a lesser ministry. Not that helping widows was beneath them. Not that their calling was somehow superior. The issue was that Jesus had called them to a specific ministry. That's where the calling comes into place. Jesus had called them to a specific ministry. Their calling as apostles was to preach the word, to preach the gospel, to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, and to pray. to lead the formal prayers of the church as the church was gathered together, and to also pray for the church in private. Pray that the Spirit would use their preaching and teaching to transform and to open eyes to Jesus. Well, the apostles needed to devote their time, their energy, their creativity to this calling and not to waiting on tables, because that was another calling. That was another ministry. That was a different ministry, a vital ministry, to be sure, one that equally served God as much as their calling as apostles. And so they said this to the church. Listen to verse 3 again. The apostle said, "Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty." So the apostles offer a simple solution, an administrative solution. Divide responsibility. Divide ministry duties. Because the apostles can't do it all. And the apostles don't try to do it all. And neither should we. Neither should you. Ministry is divided in the church. Responsibility is divided in the church. No one person or one group of people can do everything that needs to be done in the church. Pastors can't do it all. Pastors shouldn't do it all. We have a particular calling given to us by God for the church, and so do you. So do each and every one of you. No one calling is superior to another. I mean, preaching is not superior to singing in the choir. Greeting someone before they walk in for worship is not superior to delivering meals. Teaching Sunday school is not superior than somebody leading a mission trip. They're simply different. They're different ministries, they're different callings, they're different services given to the Lord. But they're all essential for the church. They're all needed for the body to function. Now, the Apostle Paul uses the analogy of the church as a body, the body of Christ, that Christ is the head, and we're the rest of the body. And all of you are needed for the body to function. All of you are needed to function properly for the body to be healthy. For the body to function properly, you got to have feet, and you got to have hands, you got to have arms, you got to have ears. But not everybody's a hand, and not everybody is an arm, and not everybody's a foot. They're all different parts, but they're all needed. You are needed. So the question is, what is your calling to the church? How are you serving in the body of Christ? What's your part? Now, if you're not using your gifts, if you're not living out the calling that God has given you, then we are not a fully functioning body. The body of Christ is not fully functioning. We're not healthy. We're not operating at 100%. And you're not being faithful to what God has given you. Now, if after this today, if you want to know how you can use your gifts, if you want to explore what calling that God may have for you to serve in his body, come see me. I'd be glad to talk to you and pray with you and explore how you can use your gifts, what God's calling may be for you to serve his body. Well, also notice this, that when the apostles suggest a solution, that they suggest that the church appoint 7, not one, but 7, a plurality in leadership, where God uses different people with different personalities and different backgrounds and different ideas and different skills to accomplish his purposes, to serve. Again, one person can't do it all. And when one person tries to do it all, there's typically 2 results. And that's disappointment and burnout. Disappointment and burnout. Well, the apostles place the solution in the hands of the church. Notice that the apostles don't choose who these seven men are going to be. They don't appoint. They don't dictate. They allow the congregation to choose. They allow God's people to elect prayerfully and guided by the Spirit, which is how we elect officers in this church. And the apostles also offered qualifications for this calling, qualifications for this office. Now, notice that the apostles did not set forth skills that would be useful in this ministry. So the office was to be in charge of distribution to the widows. So somebody in charge of this would need organizational skills and management skills and people skills and maybe fundraising skills. But the apostles focus on spiritual qualifications. They focus on character. They say these men chosen must be of good repute. They must be full of the Holy Spirit. They must be full of wisdom. They're to be well respected and to show good judgment. And the church followed the apostles' suggestion. They chose seven men. The Holy Spirit led the church to choose seven men to this office. And we're going to hear more about two of them in our study of Acts. Stephen and Philip. We'll begin looking at Stephen for the next couple of weeks, beginning next week. And we'll see that these seven men did more than just wait on tables. We'll see that they preached and they baptized and they evangelized as well. All seven men were set apart for service. They were set apart for office. They were commissioned to this office through prayer and laying on of hands. These seven were the first officers in the church besides apostles. And these seven were the first deacons. They were the first deacons. This is the origin of the office of deacon. Now, the word deacon is straight from the Greek, and it means serve or service. It appears in our passage in verse 2 when the apostles say we should not give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Serve. That's the word deacon. The office of deacon is to serve. The office of deacon is service, following the Lord Jesus who came not to be served but to serve. Deacon is an office that we have here at Covenant, and we have 12 deacons who serve in a variety of ways every day, every week, serving you, serving our community, waiting on tables, whether that's handing out bulletins or unlocking doors or collecting the offering or providing financial assistance to those in need or serving meals. It's a calling different than pastor. It's a calling different than elder. Deacons serve. So pray for your deacons. Thank your deacons. Encourage your deacons as they're living out their calling. And as they're living out their calling, you're also called to live out your calling. Serving Jesus. Using your gifts as part of the body of Christ. And verse 7 tells us what happened after this. All right, they elected deacons, and now verse 7 tells us what happens. Listen to verse 7 again. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. Now, because the apostles divided the responsibility, because they recognized their calling, because deacons were elected to serve, and the apostles knew that they couldn't do everything, the body of Christ was fully functioning. The body of Christ was healthy. It was fruitful. And the preaching of the apostles was fruitful. The Spirit moved through their teaching, and we're told that the church grew. The number of disciples grew greatly. More people heard about Jesus, placed their faith in Jesus, followed Jesus. We're told that even the priests came to faith. And so when you're living out your calling, when you're using your gifts, no matter what they are, no matter what stage in life that you're in, the body can function properly, healthy, guided by Jesus Christ. May that be so for us. May that be so for you. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your Spirit's work within our lives, for the gifts that you give us, and for the unique calling that you do give us. Father, we pray that you would help us to use our gifts for your glory, No matter what stage of life that we are at, no matter what age we find ourselves, no matter how busy we are, Father, help us to use our gifts and to live out our calling for your glory so that your body can be functioning in a healthy way, so that the name of Jesus would be proclaimed, so that your church would grow. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.